And welcome back to Are You From That Show, the podcast brought to you by Jordan and Hattie. This is season 3 and this is episode 5. Thank you so much for listening and for tuning in. So here we are for another episode, and this week we are chatting to the amazing Dakota Blue Richards. We're so thrilled to have her with us on the show. A quick reminder before we start, do give us a subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, so new episodes hit your phones or your laptops as soon as they land. Now, on to today's show. Here we are with Dakota. Enjoy. Dakota Blue Richards rose to fame at the age of 12, playing the role of Lyra in the legendary blockbuster The Golden Compass. She went on to star in the BBC dramatisation of the Jacqueline Wilson novel Dustbin Baby, as well as The Secret of Moonacre, and iconically playing the role of Frankie in Gen 3 of Skins. Dakota continues to work extensively in both film and television, having starred in both Endeavour and Beecham House, and she has also taken on the theatre, playing the role of Stella in A Streetcar Named Desire at the Leicester Curve. Welcome, Dakota.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Oh, thank you. That was a really nice introduction. Thank you.
Well, yeah, you've done so much and so much variety.
Oh, well, I don't know. I've just been kicking about a long time, I think.
So, yes, that's how we often start the podcast. So how did you get the role in The Golden Compass? I'm sure our listeners would love to hear that story.
It was open auditions, which means that basically anybody who was in the age bracket could have gone. A lot of people did. I think I was just very lucky to have been noticed within that group. And then there was quite a long drawn out process of callbacks and meeting. There were a couple of different directors on board at different stages. So meeting them, meeting Philip Pullman, and then eventually it came down to a screen test between, I think, myself and one other person. And I was the lucky one, I guess. It's not the most exciting story, really.
But going to an open audition and getting cast like that is pretty extraordinary, because so many people go to open auditions. I wonder if you think there was anything about you that stood out at that time.
I think I was very, very lucky that I went with my mum, and my mum also really loved the books and had a real sense of who Lyra was as a character. And I think she shared my sentiment that we were both there for that reason, for just being really passionate about the project rather than being there because she wanted me to be in a movie. Mm-hmm. And so her advice to me was, you know, Lyra is a kind of like a wild, untamed child, and that's how you should go in. And so I was the only girl that I saw in the queue who wasn't, you know, perfect hair, obviously no makeup because we were all 12, but like, you know, in their like Sunday best kind of clothes with their mums fussing over them, going like, okay, and remember to, you know, to speak loudly and to, you know, make yourself look nice and polite and whatever. And my mum was just like, oh, whatever, go in and be yourself. Mm-hmm. And I do think that probably set me apart from the rest of the group, because that's just not what her character was about, you know? I imagine, I can't speak for them, but I think that the casting directors kind of saw that in me early on. Mm-hmm. And then I don't really know what saw me through the rest of the audition process.
Do you remember it?
I do, yeah, I remember it quite vividly. I think it was the fact that I really never expected to get it, and I never expected to be called back after each stage. So I think that let me be a bit more natural, because I wasn't pinning too much on it. Mm. which I wish I could capture again now as an adult. Because I do think, yeah, I think in many ways I do my best work when I feel like there's not as much riding on it.
Before going for the audition, did you want to act?
I had never considered acting as a realistic profession. I tend to think I'm quite a realist, generally borderline pessimist. So even as a young child, I don't think I ever considered that as a path that I could follow. But that being said, I was very dramatic. I was constantly kind of dressing up and creating characters and, you know, and really living in those characters for quite a potentially worrying amount of time, I think, as a child. That's what you get for being an only child. And I was always really involved in like school plays and anything that was kind of performance based. So looking at it retrospectively, I mean, of course I was going to go into something, if not acting, like some performance based work, or at least a creative field. But before getting the part, I just never really considered it.
So what was it like taking so much time off school? Because it must have been a long shoot, I imagine.
It was, yeah. So we had 6 months initial shoot, but then a lot of reshoots and a lot of coming back to do voiceover stuff and all sorts of other bits and pieces right up until about a month before it premiered. So I had to be educated on set for all of that time, which I honestly kind of hated. I hated one-on-one tuition because you just couldn't escape the gaze of the teacher. Yeah. You know, I was always the kid that that could kind of get away with not doing that much and chatting at the back of the class. Or, you know, if it really came down to it, I could always find a way to engage a teacher in a conversation that had nothing to do with the work. So suddenly I was under a lot more scrutiny than I had ever been before. And I think actually in some ways it probably was good that I felt that way, because in terms of hours that I was doing, it was significantly less than I would have done at school. So yeah, it wasn't my favorite part of the experience.
It's funny, the tutoring's come up for a lot of our guests actually, the on-set tutoring, and how they've kind of dealt with it. It's funny, a lot of people have said they think they benefited from it, as you were saying, having that kind of one-on-one or one on at least a small group of people, of children, that they actually kind of think they had to focus much more than they would have done at school.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's probably true. I would also say, you know, while I say I didn't particularly enjoy it, that's not at all a reflection on the tutors that I had.
Yeah.
I had two, Esther and Mari, and I remember them very well, and they were both of them fantastic. It's just that I was such a lazy student. And all I really wanted to do was just kind of chat and mess around, and there was no time for that.
Do you know what? I've never ever thought about, this is the first time ever I've thought about, what must it have been like for a tutor tutoring kids on films and TV sets? Mm-hmm. Like, it must be a really strange experience for them.
Yeah, well, I believe that was, you know, their profession. They weren't teachers that were coming out of a school and then suddenly being on a film set. Like, they were teachers that worked in film. It definitely comes with its perks, you know.
Yeah,
traveling and
do a global publicity tour, and so my tutor came with me to every stop on that tour. I remember she made a full lesson out of Japanese history when we were in Tokyo.
Wow! Oh my god!
And, yeah, fantastic. Like she was really good for engaging me in ways that you just wouldn't get, I guess, in a regular educational environment.
How long was your publicity tour?
It felt like years because it was all like so exciting. But no, it's probably only a few weeks, maybe like 5 weeks.
Did you get to have, did they give you lots of free clothes and things like that to wear?
I got some stuff, yeah. I feel like I definitely could have rinsed them for a bit more if I had been a bit savvier at that age. But yeah, that, I mean, it wasn't really, that wasn't at the forefront of my mind at that age. If I was in that position again now, you better believe I'd be doing whatever I could.
When I was 10, I went on a promotional tour for Madeline, the film that I was in, and I got sponsored by Gap, but I wore those Gap clothes for years after. I don't think my parents had to buy me clothes for years.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I do remember getting some, I think we must have been like sponsored by Uggs or something.
Wow, I loved that.
Quite a lot of Uggs, like right at the height of when they were fashionable. Yeah, I mean, you do get given some good stuff.
I think you're right, though. I think now people would get more than back when we were younger. Yeah,
I think there's been a real shift in how people approach like styling and packaging young actors these days compared to like when I was a child. You know, you see photos of me at events when I was, I don't know, I wasn't even that young, like 13. Mm. And it's like, come on, you could have brushed your hair at least. and then you look at somebody like Millie Bobby Brown is always the example that springs to mind, because she's got more sophistication than like most women in their 30s. Yeah. And she's what? She's like 15? Yes. It's ridiculous. Like, they're so glamorous. I will never be as glamorous as like child actors are these days.
That's definitely a social media thing though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where like child actors now are so much more aware of their image and what and how they look and what they're portraying. Whereas obviously when we were younger, it was just, you know, lucky that I'm wearing clothes, let alone wearing nice clothes.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm quite lucky in some ways that I just missed that, because I feel like that could in the long run turn out to have kind of a negative impact on your self-image, just to be so aware of it at such a young age. I'm glad that I didn't care what anybody thought of me when I was in my early teens, you know.
No, I agree. I think it keeps you younger for a longer time as well. Yeah. And that's lovely. Yeah. What was it like going back to school then after filming and after doing these tours and voice work?
Well, it was an interesting experience because I came back to a brand new school. So it wasn't like I was coming back to friends who knew what I'd done, mm-hmm. And knew who I was kind of without ever having been an actor.
Yeah.
And I remember on it was either like my first or second day, it kind of came out that's what I had been doing, that I'd just come back from making this movie and it hadn't been released yet. So, you know, so nobody had seen it. Nobody knew really anything about it. And I remember there just being this really significant shift in the way that people behaved around me. And I think over time that kind of went away because people got to know me. And I think once you really get to know somebody, you forget about that part of their life. But I guess it was kind of sad in a way to see people's behavior just like shift so obviously. And scary, because it made me think like, well, will I ever be able to make a real friend ever again? And I'm glad to say that yes, I have. You know,
a happy ending.
But I do wonder what it's like for kids that are more successful and like much more famous at that age than I was. You know, how what must it be like to be a child and not able to meet anybody who doesn't already have a perception of you? It's bizarre.
Yeah.
I think especially because people do tend to make assumptions about actors, particularly if they're known specifically for one role, and if it tends to be, you know, kind of an out there role that people might make judgments about. I think a lot of people think that I'm quite like Frankie.
Well, I was going to come on to that actually.
Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of people, I think, put whatever judgments they had of her character in the way that she behaved onto me. So you are constantly battling people's perceptions. I think I'm just lucky enough that actually most of the people I meet have no idea who I am, which is great.
You were part of Generation 3. Mm-hmm. So we'd already had the first, the second. Were you a fan of the show when you got the part?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd been saying for years, put me in Skins. Yeah, I had actually requested to audition for the second generation, but I was far too young. They have a very strict policy of everyone has to be over 16. I think the only person who wasn't was Kaya in the first two seasons, but you know, she wasn't part of the main cast. So so they just kept saying, no, you're too young, you're too young. And then by the time Generation 3 came around, I was not quite 16, but I think I lied. So it was getting the part in Skins was kind of a real dream come true for me. It was like the show that I used to sneak away to watch and hope that my mum didn't catch me.
What was it like making that jump from being considered like a child actor, which is under 16, to then being classed as an adult actor, which is over 16? Did you find there was like a kind of a big change in terms of like what it's like being on set and what it was like, what was expected of you? How was that?
It was a serious shift, and it was one that I really wish I'd been more prepared for, because there's two sides of it that both come at once and kind of feed into each other and make it difficult. So one is that you suddenly, all the legal requirements around child protection and education are just gone.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly you can work as many hours in a day as they can work you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be educated, even if you are still in full-time education, which I was. Mm-hmm. They don't have to provide any help with that at all, which means you have to do it entirely on your own time. Mm-hmm. You're no longer chaperoned. Mm-hmm. I'd had my mum or my grandmother or, you know, another adult in my life with me at every step of my career before that, and suddenly I was totally alone, like living in a hotel by myself at 16. But there's all that side of it, which is quite
huge shift. Yeah.
And then the other side of it is the content which you're then expected to film. So there's, you know, there's sex scenes and there's nudity and there's drug taking and swearing and, like, you know, that just all the stuff you're actually acting is totally different as well. And those kind of fed into each other to be quite overwhelming, really. And it was, I really wish I'd known what I was going into so that I could have put some things in place to protect myself slightly more from the kind of more damaging parts of that experience.
Did you get on well enough with the rest of the cast to be able to share any of those feelings that, and, you know, emotions that you were going through at the time?
it's kind of interesting to compare my experience to theirs, because I think I was the only person in my generation who had previous acting experience. So while they were also being thrown in the deep end, they did not have any of the kind of expectations that I had had of, you know, I expected to be looked after and to be protected. Whereas I think they didn't know what protections.
Right, yeah. It was their first time doing this, yeah.
I would also say I was bar one, the youngest person in that cast. So it doesn't feel like much at that age, but looking back on it now at the ripe old age of 26, I can see that there's a significant difference between being 16 in that situation and being 18.
Yeah, massive.
So I can see how it was maybe more impactful on me than it was on others. There were definitely people within that cast with whom I could speak openly and share my experiences. The person I'd say I felt the closest to definitely was Jess, who actually was the one person that was younger than me. So I imagine her experience of it was kind of similar to mine in some ways. But the other person that I was closest to was Alex. And I actually had a conversation with him recently after the interview that I did with April for her Instagram Live series. And he said, I wasn't aware of so many of the things that you talked about. And I was really surprised by that, because I felt like Alex and I were really close, and I never felt like I hid anything from him. But I realized afterwards, I was like, actually, yeah, I don't think any of us really knew what that experience was like for each other.
Firstly, your interview with April was amazing. I listened back on Instagram Live. It was so honest and open. And it was especially, you know, special because obviously both of you were part of the Skins family and had been different generations. And the second thing I wonder is, do you think you're able to articulate these things now you're a little bit older, that perhaps even when you were 16, 17, you wouldn't have, although you felt these things, you maybe weren't speaking about them to anyone?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I became very guarded during that experience. And I mean, there are things that happened during that time that even my mum doesn't probably know about. And I'm so close with my mum, and I would tell her, you know, anything, but I really didn't talk to anyone about what I was experiencing. Partly because I didn't want the people back home to be worried about me. I really didn't want my mum to be worried about me. And partly because there was a culture on that set of we don't talk about these things, which was so, I don't know what word I'm looking for. It was so so kind of hammered home, despite not being explicitly said, that I still don't feel able to talk honestly about a lot of that experience. It's taken, you know, 6 years of 6 years of a deeply supportive, loving relationship, a year and a half of therapy, and my friendship with April to get me to a point where I can articulate some of my experiences and recognize the impact that it had on me then and kind of the lasting effects that it's still having on me.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for talking about that, because I'm sure that's difficult to talk about. And
yeah, I do a good job of kind of skirting around the issue, don't I? Talking about it without really talking about it.
Do you think that there should be something about people who are listening, the fact that you're considered an adult being over 16 in the industry, but not an adult in any other sense in terms of, like, you know, law and all that, not that they should raise that age from 16 to an older age so that you can have those things like chaperones and even tutoring and that sort of thing around longer?
Yes, I think at the very least, there ought to be enshrined in law some protections for people between the ages of 16 and 18. I don't think necessarily that all the same rules that apply to people under the age of 16 are necessary for people over the age of 16. And I can certainly see why some things like the hours you can work as a child are very strict. Mm-hmm. And I can see how that would be, it would just make certain shows almost impossible to film if you had to adhere to those hours mm-hmm. with everybody between the age of 16 and 18. But I do think that there ought to be some protections in place. I mean, looking back on it now, I felt so grown up at the time. Mm-hmm. I look back at it now and go, well, I was a child. We were children.
Yeah.
But there is something about being, I remember when I was 16, I was filming up in Leeds and we were a cast, and the two guys who played my friend in My Parents Are Aliens, they shared a flat together at 17. And I technically could have lived on my own as well, but I chose to stay in the house with the other actors who were under 16. But that experience at 16, yes, I felt that I was mature and independent, but I really wasn't. I didn't even know how to make toast. I mean, one time I stuck I got some toast in a toaster and stuck a knife in it to try and get the toast, to get the toast out.
Jordan!
I could have killed myself.
I mean, I never do that.
We never learn. You do, and because you've spent, and because you obviously at that point had spent a lot of time working and traveling the world, I'm guessing you also probably felt that you did go into that experience having a confidence and knowing and thinking that you were more mature and independent than obviously you probably were.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird paradox, I think, for me in my career, is that I can see now, looking back on it, how young I was and how vulnerable I was, and how in need of protection. And yet also I've counted myself as an adult since I was 11 years old, because that's the way I was treated. And I was expected to take on the responsibilities and, you know, the maturity of somebody much older than I was. I think even, I don't know if you found this as well, but even when I first started and I was like 12 years old, of course you're treated as a child and people understand that you're a child, but there are expectations of you that just aren't put on other children.
Yeah.
100%.
And it does, it makes you think that you're mature, certainly, even if maybe you're not.
Yeah. Even the fact that you had to set an alarm to get up in the morning to go and film. You couldn't be like a normal kid who'd be like, oh no, my mum will wake me up if I sleep from my alarm. You set an alarm, you get up, you get ready, and you have to be on a film set with adults and you have to do a job. There was no opportunity to, you know, not feel like it that day or not know your lines. You're right. You were treated almost, you had adult like responsibilities from.
Yeah. And there's no fucking about. You can't just, you know, even at school, kids can mess about and they can get in trouble and, you know, whatever, and they might have some consequences of that. But generally, like, you're allowed to mess things up as a kid. Mm-hmm. As a child actor, you're not, because mm-hmm. every mistake you make is costing somebody a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got to be there on time. You've got to be prepared. You've got to act with a certain level of professionalism. And yeah, it ages you.
Something, Dakota, you've done so beautifully is really go from being a child actor into being a successful adult actor. And that is a really hard transition, and a lot of people struggle with that. I was just wondering if you were conscious of that, you know, when you were younger, or whether actually that was just something that just happened really naturally.
It was something I was really conscious of, because people kept bringing it up. People kept saying to me, you know, you're a child actor now, but you're getting older, and how's that going to be when you have to transition? And I think in some ways Skims helped with that because it was a teenage role.
Yeah.
So that allowed me a sort of middle ground between playing child roles and playing adult roles.
Well, it's adult themes, so people could see exactly. You in those. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, so that was kind of a good way to bridge that gap. But I remember just being really excited when I got my first role where my character had a job, which I'm now trying to think what it was. I think it was Endeavour was the first time that I played somebody with a job. Exciting. I was like, now I know what it's like to have a job. and again, when I did Streetcar and I played... I was pregnant in it, so I was walking around with like a 9-month bump. Mm. And I was like, this is weird.
Proper adult.
Yeah. It's like, it's so bizarre to me that somebody thinks I could be a mother. and you know, it is odd because you're expected, I think, especially as a woman, to try and play younger than you are for as long as possible. Mm. I mean, if you look at some of the people in the show that springs to mind is Pretty Little Liars, or like Riverdale, I suppose, is another great example. I mean, I want to say Bianca Lawson has been playing 17 for about 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
I remember when I was 18 going up for roles of like 15-year-olds, and I couldn't believe it. And I was almost insulted that at 18 I was being put up for 15. And now I look back and I'm like, I absolutely could have played 15. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, exactly. When I was, I turned 21 whilst doing a play where I played 13. And there was a line in it where the character of my mother asked me my age every night. And I had to say 13 and however many months. And you could just hear the audience kind of, huh.
Yeah, really?
But yeah, so I feel like in some ways I don't know if I have fully transitioned into adult actor role because I still go up for 17-year-olds. I don't know how much longer that will last.
But I think to get to 26 and be working successfully as an actor, I think you've made that transition. I think definitely.
Okay, good.
Well, a lot of people drop off before that, yeah.
back to what we were talking about earlier on about being treated like an adult when you're younger. Mm-hmm. I would say the flip side to that though, the positive of that is I feel that those values or those kind of like skills that are embedded in you of being on time, knowing when to be professional, mm-hmm. and a work ethic, I think those things for me, I think have carried through into my adult life.
Yes.
So those are things that I look back on it and I go, I'm glad that I did that. And I'm glad I did have those things put into me because I do value them now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a benefit to it as well. I think I'm a much more capable adult than I maybe would have been without that experience. But then I guess, you know, it's hard to know, isn't it? People always say that to me when they're like, oh, well, you know, what do you think you would have been like if you hadn't had that experience? And I'm just like, how could I possibly know?
It's true. I tend to look at other people around me and go, those who like set like 8 different alarms, I'm like, that's not me.
Yeah, I guess so. But then I, you know, I think I also, I gravitate towards people who share my sensibilities. And so I think I'm surrounded by, you know, incredible people who I admire and who inspire me all the time. And I often feel like the person in my friendship group with the least to offer. So I feel there are a lot of people my age who are far less responsible than I am.
Dakota, very briefly before we finish, mm-hmm. what advice or recommendation would you give to young people wanting to get into acting as kids or as teenagers?
It's so difficult to give advice to people wanting to get into it, because I feel like I can relate so much to their passion and their enthusiasm. And, you know, I've lived through that. I still live it. I'm still so in love with this industry and with what I do. And I think I'm incredibly fortunate to have had the life I've had and to still be in it. And so part of me wants to go, that's great, follow your dreams. And the other part of me just wants to say, please don't do it. You know, please, if you think you can do anything else, do that. Because I know how damaging it can be if the right protections are not in place, especially when you're young. And if you don't have a solid support network to guide you through that. And I say that as somebody who's been incredibly fortunate and who has had overall an overwhelmingly positive experience of this industry. But I know that most people are not as lucky as I am. You know, we have and I'm speaking pre-COVID, a 90% unemployment rate in our industry. And I mean,
yeah,
it's tough.
It's terrifying. It's really
hard to tell somebody to follow their dream.
Yeah.
When the odds are stacked against you. And so often it has really nothing to do with how hardworking you are or how talented your
abilities. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're judged on all sorts of things. And there are so many parts that come with acting that nobody prepares you for. Mm. You know, the acting is really the easiest part of being an actor.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah, you know, sometimes.
the resilience that you have to survive, you know, the constant rejection, the constant criticism within the industry. And then especially as we were talking about before, the social media aspect of it that people now have to contend with. If you're a woman, the objectification and, you know, I was talking to somebody about it this morning, but I've been threatened with violence every day this week.
Dakota, I'm so sorry.
And, you know, and I don't think I'm a particularly provocative person on social media. So I can only imagine what it's like, you know, for people that have it worse than me. And those are all things that they're not so negative as to make being an actor not worthwhile. It's just that you have to have such strength of character in order to make it through that part of the experience and then be able to enjoy the millions of magical moments
and the reason that everyone gets into it.
Yeah. And I guess my fear in telling people to follow their dreams with acting is that nobody can guarantee what that balance will be for you, mm-hmm. whether you will have more good days than bad or vice versa. That wasn't particularly uplifting. Sorry.
No, it's so honest and you're so articulate in how you speak about it all. So thank you for sharing that with us.
You know, I'll say just one more thing on it, which is that I remember reading an interview with Emma Stone, and she said that when she announced to her parents that she wanted to be an actor, that they kind of tried to discourage her from it, and that she shouted at them, "If I can't act, I'll die." And I mean, I think just how dramatic that is as a statement tells you quite a lot about actors. But I feel like some people really feel that way. And if you feel that way, do it, you know, do it and do it as best as you can and enjoy every moment and appreciate every experience you get. But if you feel like, yeah, it might be something I might enjoy.
Yeah.
Maybe see what else there is.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, no, thank you for having me.
Yeah, amazing.
Thank you so much to Dakota for coming on the podcast. And thank you to George for providing the music. You can find him at soundcloud.com/George. That's JAUGE. Tune in next time. See you later.